Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, we bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores. Making the switch is easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health, go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift. Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, we bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores. Making the switch is easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health, go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift.
Hey there, this is Tom from the future. I'm whispering because time travel requires whispering. I don't know if you've listened to the newest episodes in order to find this out, but with the holidays here, there is a brand new thing that Patreon is doing where you can gift subs, which is really cool because that means a few different things. First of all, if you know somebody else who enjoys this show, you can get them a sub to whatever tier you want for whatever amount of time. So if you look at certain rewards and you think it would be really cool to get them those rewards, or just being part of the community, or even just getting ad-free episodes, that's something you can give this holiday season. Also, it means that if you've been wanting to sign up for the Patreon and you haven't been able to, and you want to ask for it as a gift from somebody else, then that can work as well. So both of those things are options. All that you have to do is go to Patreon, log in, or create an account. You can just create a free account. You don't have to sign up with anybody, anyone's Patreon. And then you go to the Patreon page for this show and you choose to gift a thing. You go through all the little options and you send them a gift. It's really simple. It would be super helpful to us. And it's a fun thing to give. So hope you consider that, and I hope you have a wonderful holiday. All right, let's get back to the show.
Oh, what are you doing? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Either you are, or I'll be skipping rope with your entrails. Ta-ta.
This is the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, your source for lore and so much more.
Hey there, adventurers. This is Tom or Robots, and you might be able to hear from the ambiance that it is a dark and spooky night. I wanted to apologize before we get into this episode for missing some recent releases. I was attacked by hurricanes, which is terrifying. I had to evacuate. The house was out without power for a few days and eventually got back, and now I'm back in the swing of things with podcast episodes. And tonight, we've got a very spooky story for you. I say we. Lotus helped pick out this topic for the episode, although he can't be here this week. He's still dealing with early parenthood struggles. We'll just call it that. But he does plan to be back very soon. So in the meantime, I thought it would be, well, spooky to fill you in on one of the creepiest of pastas from the history of the Elder Scrolls. This particular one goes by the name JVK1166Z.esp. That's right. This is an ESP file. This is a mod that was released for Morrowind, the now 20-year-old game, The Elder Scrolls III, Morrowind, which, if you've played at all, you will notice that
The low-res quality of the graphics, the barren setting, and some of the disturbing nature of the quests means that it can be a terrifying game, especially once you include things like werewolves and vampires. But this story does not hinge on some traditional movie monster. This is a story about what happens when you let your imagination take hold because somebody released a mod that broke your mind. A lot of the information from today's episode will come directly from the fandom.com article because it lists out the events in order in the way that they would have been experienced all that time ago. So let's dig right in. The article starts out and it says, "Some people might recall the momentary buzz caused in 2009 by a particularly odd Morrowind mod." We're going all the way back to 2009, so this isn't exactly 20 years ago. It's 5 years after the release of Morrowind. Well, actually, 7 years after the release of Morrowind. I think it was 2002? My brain wants to put it in 2004. Correct me if I'm wrong. But years after the release, and still before Skyrim. The file name was jvk1166z.esp. It was never posted on any of the larger Elder Scrolls communities, only smaller boards and role-playing groups. I know in a few cases, rather than being posted, it was sent via private message or email to a chosen few. It was only up for a few days, to the best of my knowledge. It caused a buzz because it was a virus, or seemed to be. If you tried to load the game with the mod active, it would hang at the initial load screen for a full hour and then crash to the desktop. If you let it get that far, your install of Morrowind, along with any save files you had, would become completely corrupted. Nobody could figure out what the mod was trying to do, since it couldn't be opened in the construction set. Eventually, warnings were distributed not to use it if you found it, and things died down. Now, you might be thinking this is a story about a file that was distributed across the community that started crashing people's games and destroying their save files. But that's not exactly the direction this story takes. It continues. "About a year later, in a mod board I used to frequent, someone popped up with the mod again. He said he was PM'd by a lurker who deleted his account immediately after sending." So that was pretty mysterious. Oh, and by the way, the person writing here on this article is unknown. We don't know who initially wrote this article. It is not the text from the person who put it into the wiki. This is the text directly about the story, and it is what is left over for us to discover. So their story continues. "He also said that the person advised him to try playing the mod through DOSBox. For some reason, this worked, sort of." DOSBox, for those of you who don't know, is a program that emulates the way DOS would run programs. DOS was the Microsoft operating system before Windows existed, so we're going way back in time here. "The game was a bit laggy, and you couldn't get into options, load game, the console, or really anything else other than the game itself. The quick save and quick load hot buttons worked, but that was it. And the quick save file seemed to be just part of the game file, so you couldn't get at it anymore. Some speculated that the changed game used an older graphics renderer, making DOSBox necessary, but it didn't look any different." Now, this creates limitations. This may have been intentional on the part of the modder to make a type of gameplay experience where not only could you not do anything other than quick save and quick load, leaving you with one load file that you had to be very careful with. I'm sure many of you have gotten in situations where you quick saved at the wrong time and then loaded into a death loop. It's happened to me before a few times. But it also creates a situation where the save file is part of the core files. So it's not something you can distribute. You can't just find somebody's save file who's gotten further along in this modding experience to see what the game eventually will do later on. And this becomes important as the story continues. This part I can speak about from personal experience. When you start a new game in JVK, as the board came to call it, once you leave the starting bit in the census office and come into the game proper, the first thing you notice is that the Prophecy Has Been Severed box pops up. Lotus and I have talked about this before. This is what happens when you, for example, kill Vivek, because the game is letting you know that you have killed an important core character. In Morrowind, characters didn't just take a knee. You could kill them, but then you would sever the prophecy, and you would not be able to finish the game along its originally intended path. It continues. This is because every single NPC having to do with the main quest is dead, with the sole exception of Yagram Bagarn, the last of the Dwemer. Their corpses never despawn, so you can go check on all of them. In effect, you begin in a world that is doomed to start with. The second thing you notice is that you're losing health. It's only a bit, but it keeps happening, a little bit at a time. The longer you stay in one place, the quicker it seems to occur. If you let this health loss kill you, you'll find the cause. A figure we came to call the Assassin, because he seems to wear a retextured version of the Dark Brotherhood armor from Tribunal, even though the expansions don't work in JVK. It's all black, completely untextured, like he's just a hole in space. The way he moves, he gave me quite a start. The first time I saw him scuttling around my dead body, he crawls inhumanly on his hands and feet, his arms and legs splayed out like a spider. You usually only see him after death, crawling around and over your body just before the reload box popped up. Occasionally, you could catch a glimpse of him darting around a corner or crawling on a wall or ceiling. It made the game very difficult to play in the dark. Other than that, the only noticeable difference is that at night, at random intervals, every NPC in the game will go outside for a few minutes. During this time, the only thing they will say when hailed is, "Watch the sky." Once they return to their normal behavior, they act regularly. Now, this is super weird, right? An assassin that's following you around, waiting for you to die. NPCs who exit their homes at a certain time every night to say, "Watch the sky." And you have to remember, back in Morrowind, these characters had day-night cycles. They would go through certain processes where they would get up in the morning, leave their home, go to where they work, walk back to their home later on. And yet all of them were on the same cycle to watch the night sky. After a while, a player on the board discovered a new NPC named Tiras, T-I-E-R-A-S, a male Dunmer in the Temple of Ghostgate. Two things are noticeable about this NPC. First is his robe, a unique article of clothing that was lovingly rendered with twinkling stars all across it, looking like a torn-off chunk of the night sky. The second is that all of his dialogue, in addition to showing up in the dialogue box, is voiced. Now, this is something that is not common in Morrowind. We've come to expect it in games like Skyrim or Fallout. But in Morrowind, a completely voiced character is very unique. You can skip it if you wish, but it all sounds like it's the default male Dunmer voice. Some people said that they thought the voice was slightly different, but it was very, very good imitation. I won't go into details, but the questline he sends you on has to do with a dungeon referred to simply as the Citadel. Up until this point, the quests were all of a fairly generic discover the secrets of the ancients type. The entrance to this dungeon is on a small island far to the west of Morrowind proper, I eventually discovered that you can use a scroll of Ikarian flight at the westernmost point of the mainland mass and jump directly west. And then you'd end up almost exactly at the island. Even though the dungeon is called the Citadel, it goes straight down. It dwarfs any other dungeon, both in size and difficulty. From a natural cave area, you'll proceed down into an ancestral tomb-looking area. Then, a Daedric ruin area. And then, a Dwemer ruin area. I made it down to the Dwemer ruins before I quit. The creatures here were so strong that a level 20 character would have taken care, and since you can't use the console in JVK, level 20 took a while to get to. Since quick save and quick load are your only options, it's all too easy to get yourself into an impossible situation, too. I did, and I just didn't have the energy to start over. What I'm telling you now is based on the testimony of those few who went further, past the Dwemer runes. You apparently find yourself in a level like the Dwemer Ruins, but darker. Rather than the usual bronze, all the surfaces, including those of the creatures, are black. The sounds of machinery are loud here, and grow louder still, randomly. There's also steam or fog everywhere, limiting your vision to about 10 in-game feet or so. If you can make it through all of this, you will reach a room at the end of a hall. Those who found it called it the Portrait Room. Now, this is where things get even more strange. If it wasn't strange enough to have all of the hoops you have to jump through just to get this mod to work, and then a world that's strange and odd, with main characters who are dead, NPCs on weird cycles talking about the sky, a brand new voiced NPC, an assassin character, and a dungeon bigger than anything else you've discovered in the whole rest of the game, it gets even more strange. Like the fire and torches or other effects from early 3D games, this room has picture frames that always face directly at you, no matter how you look at them. The images in the frames are always randomly chosen images from your My Pictures folder on your computer. On the board, the ones who got to this point had some fun posting screenshots of the portrait room with various pictures in the frames, and I'm sure you can guess what those pictures might have been. At the end of the hall was another locked door. After admitting defeat and returning to Tiris, he could be found saying, "Watch the sky," in his gravelly voice. What's more, nobody else in the game would say anything. Talking to them would present a completely blank dialogue box with no options at all. They wouldn't even rattle off the usual canned, audible greetings. The only exception was at night. Whenever they'd go out for a few minutes, they'd repeat it. Watch the sky. At this point, one of the players, a friend of mine from the board, noticed, and the few others who got this far agreed, that the night sky was no longer the usual night sky of Tamriel. It had changed to a depiction of a real night sky. And it moved. From this point on, everything is based on what this one person reported. Eventually, he got himself kicked from the board, but I kept in contact with him for as long as he responded. According to him, based on the constellations and planets, the sky started around February 2005. If you died, loaded, or went back into the Citadel, it would start over. When the usual day sky graphics took over, the movement would be suspended until the stars appeared again. In the space of a single night, everything would move about 2 months or so. Since the timescale of JVK was more or less that of the standard game, that meant that a bit less than an hour was equal to a 24-hour period. He became convinced that the door would open based on some kind of celestial event. Of course, waiting for that meant leaving the game running. Of course, that meant that the game couldn't be left unattended, thanks to our old friend, the assassin. My friend decided he'd hang out for a whole day, just to see if anything happened. That would be about a year's worth of movement. Here's the post he made at the end of this experiment.
Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, we bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores. Making the switch is easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health, go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift.
This is Hamish Morak, Dragonborn, and you are educating yourself to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast.
Now we'll get to that in a moment, and I was about to take a break to go thank our patrons, but turns out that for some reason the Patreon site is not displaying everything correctly, so it's hard for me to see exactly who signed up when and who has been supporting at different levels. It's kind of a jumbled mess right now, so we're going to delay this. Don't worry, if you signed up recently, you're going to get a shout out eventually, and I will go over reviews and things like that. But all that's to say, if you would like to help support this show and you want to keep it going, and I'm sure Lotus will be back to a regular cadence joining me on future episodes very soon, we're going to get things back going the way they were because our worlds were changed by babies and hurricanes. So if you want to help support, patreon.com/Elder Scrolls Lorecast is where you can go get ad-free episodes and t-shirts and stickers and join us for patron chats like the one coming up next week. And you can also leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. I'll read that out in a future episode of the show, or you can share it with your friends, all of that stuff. But here, let's get back to the story.
You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, dear child of Sithis. That is why the Night Mother loves you.
So here's the text that was left about this experiment. It says, I loaded in Sadanine, where it all starts. It wasn't too bad, just had to check in now and then to move around and heal to make sure I wasn't dying. But check it out, 24 hours exactly in, the assassin learns a new trick. He screams. I was reading, and all of a sudden, this crazy loud shriek just about makes me crap myself. It was like something out of a horror movie. I look up, and there he is, just crouched down right in front of me. Of course, the second I moved my character, he ran off. When I went back down to the portrait room, the door was still locked. Damn it, damn it, damn it. A bit later, he came to the decision that he needed to wait 3 days, which is the same as 3 years. His reasoning was that the PM advised us to try DOSBox showing up, or this PM specifically showed up, in February of 2008, which was the point he needed to get to. Quote, after the first shriek, the assassin stops hitting you out of nowhere. Now he'll shriek, and if you don't move for a few seconds after that, he hits you. I think whoever made the mod was trying to help. At night, I've gotten my headphones on and I was just kind of dozing off when he wakes me up with a shriek. I jiggle the mouse and I'm good. That post was 2 days in from his laptop. But once it was over, and then this other post shows up, quote, and there's a bunch of F words here. We're going to keep it cleaner. So effing done. So I wait for 3 days, right? And right after the effing assassin made me jiggle the mouse, he shrieks again. So I look, and everyone in town is outside. They're all saying, watch the sky. I don't see anything, though. But then the game starts getting dark, like really dark. I turn the brightness all the way up on my monitor, and I can still barely see. There are other people in the game, little figures running around in the distance, just going back and forth. If I try to get close, they run off. Now, I was trying to sleep, so the lights were off, and this was kind of creepy. I didn't want to get up to turn on my light because I didn't want to miss anything, but nothing happens. Eventually, I go to the Citadel. It was still dark, and I had to swim, and the whole time, I could see all these guys swimming all around me, just barely there. I make it to the Citadel and it's normal light inside. Then I get worried. Sure enough, the portrait door is still closed. I go outside and it's all starting over. So that's it. I'm going to bed. I'm effing done. The end. And so you could see that in order to go through what they're doing, in order to get to the point where the game changes, it takes very long periods of time. And I would imagine spending that much time sitting at your computer, waking up every so often to make sure that your character is still there, that the game world continues, would be extremely taxing. And this individual isn't doing this over weeks, saving the game, reloading it. They are grinding out 24-hour days of this. And you have to wonder, what does that do to someone's mind? Well, the post continues. After that, two things happened. First, someone else who got to the portrait room claimed that the assassin was showing up in his regular Morrowind game. Quick explanation, if you reinstall Morrowind to a different folder, you could have a normal Morrowind install along with JVK. He himself chalked it up to an overactive imagination at first, but he reported a couple of really big scares with the black figure crawling right at him, or seeing it waiting just around a corner before scuttling off. Another of those who reached the portrait room started a regular Morrowind game, but never saw him for sure. It was just a couple of maybes, late at night, and always at a distance. So maybe the game was starting to play with people's minds? It goes on. The second is that my friend started getting really abusive and short-tempered on the board, though he stopped talking about JVK entirely. It got so bad that he was soon kicked off. I didn't hear anything from him for a couple of weeks after that, so I sent him an email. This was part of his reply, quote, "I know I shouldn't have, but with classes out, I had some time, so I started JVK up again. It's almost 2011, and I think I've got the sleep madness, but stuff is happening. It's still dark. Once it gets dark, it never gets any lighter. It stays like that. The people moved a few months ago. Everyone in Sedanine just went to that little bandit cave and moved in. They killed the bandits inside, and now they're just standing around inside. They don't say anything anymore. They don't do anything when you click on them. I quicksaved and killed one, and he just stood there until he died without fighting back. And it's like that everywhere. You have to walk, since the quick travel people are all in caves now, too. But all the cities and towns are deserted. Their people are in caves and tombs. Everyone in Vivec is down in the sewers. I'm going to Ghostgate next. I want to see if Tyrus is still there. I'll tell you what he says when I get there." And so, this was curious, and the original writer of this decides that he's going to reply. He says, "I replied and said I wanted to see what he said too, and waited a day. But when I didn't get a reply, I mailed him again, and a couple of hours later, he sent back this, quote, "Sorry, I totally forgot. So it's 2014 now." Now, side note, it's not actually 2014 when he's writing back. It didn't take him 3 years to respond. It's been three more in-game years. So three more days of real time. It continues. "Since it's always night, the stars are always moving. The whole screen is dark, but you can still see the brightest stars moving around. Tyrus was gone. Everyone in Ghostgate was gone. I don't know where they went. They're not in any sort of nearby caves. And there's new stuff. People still don't say anything, but their eyes are bleeding. It's so dark that even with a light spell, you have to get right up against them to see, but there they are, little dark streaks coming down from their eyes. I gotta be getting close. I know this is stupid, and there's no way the payoff is going to be worth it, but I just want to be able to say I stuck it out." The original writer continues, "I got that one during the day. Later that night, I received a follow-up email. Quote, "Some of the planets aren't moving right. It's pissing me off. If this keeps up, I won't be able to keep track anymore. It's almost 2015 now, I think. You know, it just now noticed that there aren't any monsters anymore either. I'm completely alone outside now. The main quest people's bodies are still lying around, though. I went to check on them. I don't need
headphones anymore, so I just leave them off. When he shrieks, it's like he's screaming right into my ear. I think I even kind of anticipate it. He's around a lot more now. A lot closer. He's different from the other people who started showing up, remember? They keep running around where I can barely see them. I have to admit, it's kind of creepy at night. Sometimes, when I go to the bathroom or whatever, I swear I can see something out of the corner of my eye. I'm keeping all the lights on now. In my estimation, and this is me talking, this is not quoting anything, it seems to me that after so many concurrent days of lack of sleep, you might start imagining the things that you've been focusing on in the real world. Or maybe this mod is actually, who knows, cursed with ghosts or something. It continues. I sent him a letter jokingly telling him to get some real sleep and left it at that. Two mornings later, I found this in my email. It was the last thing I got from him. After it, he stopped responding completely. Quote, I just got up from an effed up dream, I think. The assassin shrieked at me, and when I opened my eyes, he was right there, crouching over me. His arms and legs were longer and more like a spider's. I tried to push him away, but when I touched him, my hands went inside and I couldn't get them loose again, like he was made of tar or something. Then I woke up. I thought he was gone, but when I looked at the monitor, I wasn't where I was. I was in the Corpusarium with Yagram. For once, the light was okay, and I could see him all bloated on those mechanical spider legs. I sat down at the computer and he started talking to me. Not in a box, but really talking to me in Tiara's voice. He knew things about me. He told me things that I never told anyone, and some things I totally forgot about. He told me that almost nobody had made it this far and that the door would open up soon. I just had to hang on a little while longer. He said I'd know when it was time. He said I might be the first one to see what was inside. And then I woke up for real, but I was at the computer. I still wasn't where I was. Right now, I was swimming out to the Citadel Island, and I can hear this tapping. It's at my window. It's over on the left, so I'm sending you this because I left my laptop on my bed to the right. Just a little tap, 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 like he's knocking his finger against the glass. I might still be dreaming now. And then we get the last little bit of detail. I guess that's the end of the story. I know there are a few other tales floating around about this mod, but this is the only one I know is true, as far as it goes. I deleted my JVK copy of the game pretty much right after I gave up, but I'd like to get that mod again, if anyone still has a copy of the file. I want to see some of this for myself. And again, this was posted by an unknown author, originally uploaded April 23rd, 2011. Now, how much of this is real? How much of this is a mind overreacting to being stuck in this situation for days without proper sleep? We may never know. But it makes for a really fun creepypasta. And who knows, maybe that file's still floating around out there somewhere, if you want to give this a try yourself. Stay safe out there, and if you see a creepy black assassin, maybe try to wake up. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for tuning in to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Check out robotsradio.net for more podcasts just like this, and join us on the Robots Radio Discord. Be part of a community of over 5,000 people who are excited about video games and so much more.
Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.
Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, We bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores. Making the switch is easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health, go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift. Over the last 75 years, over 10,000 chemicals have been introduced to our food supply. Yet the EU only allows 300 food additives. But at Thrive Market, we bring our members the highest quality brands and restrict more than 1,000 ingredients found at conventional grocery stores. Making the switch is easy with our Healthy Swaps scanner, which finds better versions of all your favorite pantry, snacking, and home essentials without the added junk, dyes, and fillers. Plus, it's all delivered straight to your door. So if you're looking to shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health, go to thrivemarket.com/podcast and you'll get 30% off your first order and a free gift.
Hey there, this is Tom from the future. I'm whispering because time travel requires whispering. I don't know if you've listened to the newest episodes in order to find this out, but with the holidays here, there is a brand new thing that Patreon is doing where you can gift subs, which is really cool because that means a few different things. First of all, if you know somebody else who enjoys this show, you can get them a sub to whatever tier you want for whatever amount of time. So if you look at certain rewards and you think it would be really cool to get them those rewards, or just being part of the community, or even just getting ad-free episodes, that's something you can give this holiday season. Also, it means that if you've been wanting to sign up for the Patreon and you haven't been able to, and you want to ask for it as a gift from somebody else, then that can work as well. So, both of those things are options. All that you have to do is go to Patreon, log in, or create an account. You can just create a free account. You don't have to sign up with anybody, anyone's Patreon. And then you go to the Patreon page for this show, and you choose to gift a thing. You go through all the little options, and you send them a gift. It's really simple. It would be super helpful to us, and it's a fun thing to give. So hope you consider that, and I hope you have a wonderful holiday. All right, let's get back to the show.